In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Through the grace of God, we will study tonight chapter 5 from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. In the first four chapters, St. Paul explains that we are justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law. And as we explained, this means the works of the law without believing in Christ cannot justify any person. And we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this faith in Him, which is a dynamic faith, faith that's working in love. This faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will give us access into the grace of God by which we are justified. So, after St. Paul explained that justification is through faith, in chapter 5, he explained to us the blessings of justification. And he mentioned six blessings for justification. And after he explained the six blessings of justification, he reflected and compared between the first Adam and the second Adam, between Adam and Christ, in order to explain more how we are justified and how we are saved by understanding how death entered into the world through the sin of Adam. So in this chapter, actually, there are two main themes. The first part is about the blessings of justification, and he mentioned six blessings for justification. And the second part, he explained more the salvation by comparing between first Adam and second Adam, who is Christ. And he said Adam, first Adam, is a type of Christ. And the word type means a symbol. So if we say Adam is the type, Christ will be the anti-type, the fulfillment of this symbol. So let us start reading verse by verse from chapter 5. Verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first blessing of justification. Now we are justified. Justified means we are righteous before God. So now we can be reconciled with God. Before our justification, we were enemies. There was no peace between God and us. But now, having been justified, this enmity is gone. And the wall that was separating God from us was broken down. And now we have peace with God. Peace with God means we are reconciled with God. Also, God can dwell in my heart and give me this peace which surpasses all understanding. God and the Holy Spirit dwell in my heart, and I can bear the fruit of peace, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because now I am reconciled with God. But how I am justified, as St. Paul said, by faith. Faith here means believing in God, believing in Christ, believing in His redeeming action on the cross. That's why he said, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this peace, this reconciliation, was made possible through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. This was the first blessing. The second blessing, through whom, through Jesus Christ, also we have access by faith. Through Jesus Christ, we have access by faith into what? Into this grace in which we stand. If we want to compare between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and when I'm speaking the Old Testament and New Testament, I'm not speaking about the Scripture, but I'm speaking about the Old Covenant, the era of the Old Testament and the era of the New Testament. The only difference between the Old and the New Covenant is this word, grace. As St. John said, the law was given by Moses, but the grace was given by Jesus Christ. Now we are living in the era of grace, in the covenant of grace. The Old Covenant was based on your works. You should do this and this and this and this to be justified. But everybody failed to be justified by his own works. But now we are not justified by our own works, but we are justified by the grace of God, which we received as a gift from God. And this is the second blessing of justification. Now we have access to this grace. And the grace of God is not only limited to the work of salvation. But for example, the grace of God now, we have the Holy Spirit abiding in us. You are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit abides in you. And we bear the fruit of the Spirit. How we have access to this? It is through our justification. Now we can carry in our life the gifts of the Spirit. We have access into the gifts of the Spirit. How? It is through our, because we have been justified. So this grace, all these blessings that we receive freely through the grace of God, all this blessing made possible through justification. So that's why St. Paul said, through whom? Through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Also we have access by faith, by believing in him and in his redeeming action, into this grace in which we stand, in which we enjoy, and in which we stand day after day in our life, the era of grace. So the first blessing is we have peace with God. We are reconciled with God. The second blessing, we have access to this grace. Because if we are enemy, if we are not justified, I cannot have access to this grace. But now I have access to this grace because I am justified. I can have the Holy Spirit abide in me. I can carry the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit. The third blessing, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Actually, the word rejoice is very weak to express the original Greek word. It's more than rejoicing. It's like we glory in the hope. We boast in this hope. Actually, in Arabic, it's translated to naftakhir. Naftakhir means boasting. It's more just being rejoicing. But we boast in this hope of the glory of God. Which means what? Now I am justified. And because I'm justified, I have hope in what? In being glorified. That's why in the liturgy this morning, we read the Gospel of Transfiguration. And in the Gospel of Transfiguration, we have both Moses and Elijah appeared in glory with Christ. Now, because we are justified, now we have access to this glory, and we have hope that we will receive the same glory. The Lord Jesus Christ in John 17, he prayed to the Father and said, Father, glorify them with the glory that I am glorified with. So we are participating in the glory of God. That's why St. Paul said, the third blessing of justification, now we have hope, and we boast in this hope. We glorify in this hope that we participate in the glory of God. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But this hope is not only limited to the eternal life and that we will receive glory. But this hope is so powerful that even in the time of tribulation and in the time of hardship, we rejoice in this hope. Because if Christ saved us and justified us, then in the same way, he can deliver me from any tribulation, from any hardship, from any affliction. That's why in verse 3 he said, and not only that we rejoice in the hope of the glory, that we will be glorified, but we also glory in tribulation. When I go through difficult time, when I go through hardship, I don't lose hope, because I know that Christ loves me. I know that Christ can save me, can deliver me. He delivered me from the bondage of sin. He delivered me from the slavery to Satan. He delivered me from the fear of death. So now, any tribulation, Christ can deliver me. And even if he did not deliver me from this tribulation, he will participate with me. He will be a fellow with me in this tribulation. As we read in the book of Isaiah, in all our suffering, he suffered with us, and the angel of his presence saved us. So he suffers with me. And now, Christ in me, and I have the Holy Spirit in me, and one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is long-suffering. So now in the tribulation, I can endure, I can persevere. So knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, I will not lose hope, but I persevere in tribulation, because now I'm justified, I have the Holy Spirit with me, I have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is patience, long-suffering, perseverance. So I persevere in the tribulation, and I don't lose hope in tribulation. And this perseverance in tribulation produces character. What means produces character? When I don't fall under the tribulation, but I overcome the tribulation, then my character will be strong. I will gain strength in my character. In Arabic it says, الصبر ينشئ تزكية. يعني الواحد يتزكى فبنجاحه في التجربة يتزكى فيصير قوي في المسيح. So this means produces character, which means I succeed in tribulation because I overcome the tribulation. I will not be overcome by tribulation, but I overcome tribulation through Christ and through the grace of God and through the Holy Spirit. And this actually produces character. My character will be strength. I will be strong in Christ. And this character actually will lead to what? To more hope. Now I know from my experience that I overcame many tribulations. So this will give me more hope. This will strengthen my hope more and more. So when I enter into another tribulation, my hope will be stronger than before. And all these blessings I received through what? Through being justified. Now I have access to this grace. Now I have the Holy Spirit with me. So I endure and persevere in tribulation. And this perseverance produces character. And the character produces more hope. And the hope, now the hope does not appoint. This hope is so sure. Because it's not hope in me, but it's hope in Christ. And Christ is unchangeable. That's why the hope in Christ is unchangeable and never disappoints. This trust in Christ, this confidence in Christ will never disappoint me. So these are the blessing of justification. Number one, we have peace with God. Number two, we have access into the grace. Number three, we have this hope, strong hope, that will never disappoint, even during the time of tribulation. And number four, the fourth blessing, because we are justified, our eyes now are open to understand the love of God. Now we knew how much God died for us. There is no love greater than this, to die for someone else. And Christ died on us. And now we understand and we acknowledge and we experience actually this love of God. And this is the fourth blessing of justification. We recognize the love of God. And because also we recognize the love of God, this makes our hope steadfast. And this confidence is so sure. So in verse 5 he said, now hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Again, because I'm justified, I received the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. And now this love poured out in my heart, which means God gives abundantly. God gives this love without measure to me. And because this love is poured in my heart, my eyes are opened to experience and to understand the depth of the love of God. Although no way can any person understand fully the depth of his love to mankind. But now we have the Holy Spirit in me and the love of God poured in my heart by the Holy Spirit. In verse 6, he elaborated more about this love of God. He said, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were still without strength, means what? Without strength, we are weak. We cannot justify ourselves. By my own works, I cannot save myself. So while I am weak, and because of this weakness, I became ungodly. I lived in ungodliness. So Christ, in due time, in the fullness of time, according to his economy, according to his plan, Christ died for the ungodly. And who are the ungodly? All of us. Because as St. Paul said, everybody broke the law. Everybody was under sin and under death. No one was able to be justified by his works. And we understand now the love of God is unconditional love. Because he died for the ungodly. He didn't tell me, if you want me to love you, you need to be godly first and then I will love you. This is a conditional love. But God died for us while we are ungodly. This unconditional love, this is also limitless love. Limitless love because there is no love more than this to die for somebody else. So this love for the ungodly was so powerful to the extent that Christ died on the cross, shed his blood on the cross. So this is limitless love, limitless, unconditional love. And St. Paul made his argument so strong by telling us in verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die." And St. Paul used two words here, righteous man and good man. What's the difference between righteous and good? Righteous, I am righteous in myself. I don't commit any sin. I did not commit any sin. But good is broader. Good is not only I'm righteous, but also I help others. There is goodness. So he said, for a righteous man who is good in himself, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. It will be very, very hard to find one person except to die for a righteous man. Perhaps for a good man, because a good man helped others, and because of his goodness, he performed many good works with others. So yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But who will die for the ungodly? Who will die for the ungodly? Nobody dies for the ungodly. But God, verse 8, God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is what we call the unconditional love. While we were still sinners, God loved us and died for us. And these are the characteristics of God's love: unconditional, limitless, and sacrificial. Unconditional because he died while we are sinners. Sacrificial because he sacrificed himself on the cross. He died. And limitless because he did not put any limit to his love. He walked the whole way and obeyed the whole way unto death, even the death of the cross. So this love was demonstrated to us through the Holy Spirit, who was poured in us. So our eyes now open to understand and to experience the unconditional, sacrificial, limitless love of God. God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So, the first blessing, we have peace with God. Second, we have access into the grace. Third, we have this hope, this confidence that does not disappoint. Number four, we experience the love of God. Number five, we are saved from the eternal wrath, from the wrath to come. As he said in verse 9, much more than having now been justified by his blood. Now because we are covered by his blood, we are found just because we are covered by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Because the wrath of God is upon the ungodly, the wicked, the sinners. But now we are covered by his blood. We are justified by his blood through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are saved from this wrath. In the second coming, in the day of judgment, those who believed in God and those who lived according to this faith, the wrath of God will not come upon them, but actually they will be saved from the eternal damnation in the lake of fire. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. when we're enemies because of our ungodliness. But God reconciled us to himself through the death of his Son, through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Much more, having been reconciled, now we are reconciled, now we are justified, which we shall be saved by his life. We shall be saved by his resurrection, by his life. So St. Paul is saying, while we were enemies, while we were ungodly, Christ saved us and reconciled us with the Father by his death on the cross. Because he took our penalty, and now we are reconciled with God. So much more now, while we are reconciled, while we are justified, now we can be saved. How we be saved? Because now we have the Holy Spirit in me, and I enjoy all these blessings of the new life with Christ through his resurrection and through his life. And actually, all the reading of the Holy 50 days after the resurrection are about this new life in Christ. And how this, through this life, God gave us many blessings. He gave us the living water. He gave us the living bread, his body and his blood. He gave us the light. He told us the way. He gave us victory over the world. So now, through his life, through his resurrection, and now we are reconciled, so we will be saved because we have access to all these blessings that we received through the resurrection of Christ. Verse 11, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God. That is the last blessing, number 6, joy. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Now, because we know we are reconciled, we know we have peace, we know that we have access to the grace of God, we know we have this confidence and hope that does not disappoint. We know that God loved us that much, unconditional love, sacrificial love, limitless love. We know that we are saved from the wrath to come in the day of judgment. So now we rejoice in God through Jesus Christ, through whom we are reconciled with God. And this is also the fruit of the Spirit, joy. So we have all these blessings because we are justified. So to summarize, what are these 6 blessings? Number 1, we have peace with God. Number 2, we have access into the grace. Number 3, we have this hope, confidence that does not disappoint even during the time of tribulation. Because tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. And character leads to what? To more hope. And this hope does not disappoint. And number 4, now we receive this love of God. We experience this love of God. We understand this love of God, which is sacrificial, limitless, and unconditional. Number 5, we shall be saved from the wrath that will come upon the ungodly, but now we are justified in him. And finally, because of all these blessings, we rejoice. We have this joy, as the Lord told us, and I will see you, and you will rejoice, and no one can take this joy away from your heart. This permanent joy, this joy even during the time of tribulation and time of hardship, because this joy is not conditional on the external circumstances, but this joy comes from that willing of the Holy Spirit inside me. So this joy is not dependent on the external circumstances, but it is dependent on the presence of God in me. And because this joy is the fruit of the Spirit, that's why it's permanent, unchangeable. No one can take this joy away from my heart. From verse 12 St. Paul starts to explain more the salvation and the justification, but through understanding the sin of Adam. He said, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. St. Paul is saying, do you think that sin can spread to everybody, and death can spread to everybody, and the grace of God cannot spread to everybody? If Satan was able to take the whole world into bondage and into death, don't you think that the grace of God can deliver all of us from this bondage of death? And here how St. Paul explained it. Through one man, Adam, sin entered the world. By the disobedience of Adam, sin entered into the world. And because the wages of sin is death, that's why death through sin. But why I am considered a sinner? Why? Because St. Paul said, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. How I sin? Because I was in Adam when Adam sinned. All of us were in Adam when he sinned. So in Adam, all of us, we sinned. And because Adam sinned and this entered into the world because of this sin, that's why this spread to all of us. And all of us became mortal. And we fell under this punishment of death. For until the law, here St. Paul wants to explain, all sin, does this word all include people before the law or not? Because somebody may argue, before the law, you cannot tell me I sin. There is no law telling me thou shalt not steal. So how can I sin? But St. Paul actually explained here and made a very, very strong argument how even before the law, everybody sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. So when God gave us the law is like a mirror. This mirror showed me how sinful I am. But until the law, sin was in the world. And St. Paul differentiated between two words, sin and transgression. Sin, if I commit a sin, but without a law, without commandment, without instruction, thou shall not. For example, if I lie, but there is no commandment telling me, do not lie, then I sin. But this cannot be, or does not, is not considered transgression, because I did not transgress against a law, against commandment. But transgression is both sin and disobedience. That's why the punishment of transgression is more. So before the law, everybody sinned. And the wages of sin is death. So everybody also became under the penalty of death. Although I cannot say everybody transgressed before the law, because there was no commandment. But after the law, And after there is a commandment. Now, I did not only sin, but I transgressed, I disobeyed the commandment. That's what St. Paul is saying here. Until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Sin is not imputed means it's not considered transgression here. But this doesn't mean that sin will not be punished by death. Because death is a natural result of sin. The wages of sin is death. That's why in verse 14 he said, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Even before the law, death reigned because everybody sinned. Yes, they did not transgress because there was no commandment, but they sinned. And because they sinned, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. He's saying the sin of Adam is different. How it's different? Because the sin of Adam was transgression. Because God told him, don't eat from this tree. But Adam transgressed the commandment and disobeyed God. So, although people from Adam to Moses sinned, I understand they sinned not according to the transgression of Adam. Their sin was different than the sin of Adam. But because they sinned, death entered in the world and death reigned over them. So, again, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Because Adam both sinned and transgressed. But people from Adam to Moses, most of them just they sinned because there was no law, there was no transgression. Is this clear? Who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Adam is a type, is a symbol. The word type means simple. In Coptic, we call it a typos, type. So type means a symbol. And the fulfillment of the symbol we call anti-type. For example, we say circumcision is the symbol of baptism. So circumcision is the type of baptism. And baptism is the anti-type of circumcision. So Adam here is the type. And who is the anti-type? It's Christ. So Adam is a type of him, of Christ, who was to come. Who was to come to save the world. Verse 15. St. Paul from verse 15 made three comparisons. One comparison in 15, one comparison in verse 16, and one comparison in verse 17. Between Adam and Christ. The first comparison, he said, but the free gift is not like the offense. He said, if the offense, if the transgression was able to bring everybody under death. Don't you think that the free gift, the grace of God, will bring everybody into eternal life, and not more than, not only eternal life, but into the access of all these blessings and the grace of God? So, there is no comparison between offense and grace. But what I try to tell you, if the offense was able to do this, much, much more we expect the grace of God and the free gift of God to do more than what the offense did to humanity. That's why he said, the free gift is not like the offense. For, if by the one man's offense, which is Adam, many died, And the word many does not mean just many, not everybody. But why St. Paul used the word many, not the word all? Because all can be few. Do you understand? All can be five persons. But he wants to say all who died are many, are millions and millions. That's why he said the word many. The same way we say it in the divine liturgy, in the institutional narrative. Take it, this is my body, which will be broken for many. Many does not mean not broken for all. But maybe the all are few. But just emphasize that the all are many, are many, many, many people, millions of people. That's why he used the word many, not the word all. For if by the one man's offense, the sin of Adam, many died, everybody died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man who is Christ, Jesus Christ, abounded to many, to all. So that's the first comparison. He said, if the offense was able to bring everybody under death, don't you think that the grace of God, the one man, Jesus Christ, and the free gift by this grace, the gift of justification, the gift of salvation, cannot be abounded to many people? Absolutely. Because it's much, much more. There is no comparison between the offense that brought by Satan and the grace that brought by God. Cannot compare this to that, as we cannot compare Satan to God. Again, I cannot compare the offense to the grace. That's the first comparison. So as this was able to bring many all under this, the grace of God will bring all under eternal life. The second comparison, again he emphasizes, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. This again repetition or emphasis that the gift is different than the grace, the offense. I cannot compare the offense by the grace. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. That is the second comparison. This offense, the one offense, the disobedience of Adam, it resulted in what? In judgment. And what was the result of judgment? We are condemned. So don't you think that the many offenses that Jesus Christ carried in his body on the cross will bring justification to all of us? That's why he said the free gift which came from the many offenses. What does it mean from many offenses? The many offenses, the old sins that Christ carried in his blood on the cross, in his body on the cross. So all these sins that he carried on the cross on my behalf, on our behalf, resulted in justification. So the first comparison, the one offense spread, made death reign to everybody. But the grace of God also will be abounded to everybody. So in the first comparison, he's focusing on many, everybody. Second comparison, the offense resulted in condemnation. But the grace of God resulted in justification. This offense was one offense, the disobedience of Adam. But the justification came from the many offenses, the old sins that Christ carried in his body on the cross. The third comparison, verse 17. For if by the one man's offense, the offense of Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. This condemnation reigned. This condemnation was not just a temporary, it reigned. So as a condemnation, death reigned in everybody through the offense of the one person, Adam, much more the grace of God and the gift of righteousness that we received through our justification will reign in life, will give us eternal life through the one Jesus Christ. So as Adam, through Adam, this reigned in us, through Jesus Christ, life will reign also in us. So the first comparison was the focus on what? On many, on everybody. The offense spread to everybody. The grace of God spread to everybody. The second comparison, the focus on this offense resulted in judgment and condemnation. The grace of God resulted in justification. The third comparison, this condemnation reigns. And in the same way, the justification and righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. And why St. Paul is saying this? Because St. Paul won't say this justification is a gift for everybody, not only for the Jews, but for the Jews and Gentiles. And this was one of the themes of the letter to Romans. He wants to explain the grace of God is not only for the Jews, but for everybody, for the Gentiles and for the Jews. In verse 18 and 19, he made a summary to this comparison between Adam and Christ. That's why he started by, therefore, here is a summary to the comparison between Christ and Adam. Therefore, as through one man's offense, through Adam's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. That's exactly what we said. Here, there is all men, everybody, judgment, which is death, and that reigns on everybody. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the one man here is Jesus Christ. Through this man, what righteous act? His crucifixion, his death and his resurrection. Because in his crucifixion, he obeyed God, he obeyed the Father. So Adam, through disobedience, death reigned over us through the disobedience of Adam. And through the obedience of Christ, now we are justified. So through this righteous act, he obeyed unto death the death of the cross. The free gift came to all. The free gift of justification and salvation came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So now we are justified, and now we are eligible to inherit eternal life. For as by one man's disobedience. Now he's explaining what is the offense and what is the righteous act. The offense was the disobedience, the transgression. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And again, many means all. By the disobedience of Adam, all of us, we were in Adam, so all of us were made sinners. So also, by one man's obedience, by the obedience of Christ, when he obeyed unto death, the death of the cross, many will be made righteous. Actually, everybody has the potential to be just and righteous if we believe and if we accept this free gift. It's a free gift for everybody. But the question, are you going to accept it or reject it? But everybody can be made righteous and can be made just in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20, Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Many people will question, why God gave us then the law? If the law cannot save me, why God gave us the law? St. Paul said, the law entered, God gave us the law, that the offense might abound. What does it mean the offense might abound? God gave us the law so that we obey the law and we repent. But what happened? Everybody disobeyed the law. And now our sins are not only sins, but became transgressions. So God actually, God foreknew that the sin will abound and the offense will abound. But this abundance of sin is helpful. In what way? It will help me to realize my need for a Savior. I cannot save myself by my own works. I need a Savior. So this will prepare me to believe in Christ. When I understand how miserable I am, how I cannot save myself. So this abundance of offense, in a way, is helpful because it will make me realize my need for a Savior. And with the abundance of sin, what will happen? The grace of God also will be abundant. That's why he said, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Because if the sin put me under the sentence of death, the grace of God abounded also in order to deliver me from the sentence of death and to give me eternal life. So I shouldn't be disappointed because sin is abounded under the law, because the grace of God also abounded much, much more. Verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin entered in the world and reigned in death, because the wages of sin is death. So as the offense brought all of us under death, even so the grace of God will reign through righteousness, through our justification, through the righteousness and justification that we received through the Lord Jesus Christ, to eternal life. So the grace of God will reign in us to give us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in this chapter, St. Paul explained to us 6 blessings of justification, that we have peace with God, we have access to the grace, we have confidence and hope that does not disappoint even in tribulation, and tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, character produces hope. We experience the love of God which is poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We are saved from the wrath to come, and also we rejoice in God through Jesus Christ, by whom we are reconciled with the Father. And then we understand how through Adam all of us sinned. Because through Adam, his transgression, all of us transgressed in him, or sinned in him, more accurately, we sinned in Adam. And because of his offense, sin and death spread to all people and reigned in us, and we are condemned. But the second Adam, Christ, through his obedience, through this righteous act, he sacrificed on the cross, now we have access into this grace. And this grace is for everybody. And this grace gives us eternal life. And this eternal life reigns in us. When God gave us the law, give us the law to understand how miserable we are and how weak we are and how we cannot save ourselves by our own deeds. And sin abounded, but the grace of God abounded much more. So as sin reigned in this, so even the grace of God reigned through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. Is this chapter clear? Do you have any question? Yes.
We talked about sin and grace. Sin is inherited. It came to us without a choice. We didn't choose to be sinners or not. It was inherited through Adam. Grace is something that you have a choice in. I mean, you can have somebody who was born Christian and the grace of God is on him, or you have somebody who was born of a different religion and he doesn't know about Christ, so that grace he would have to work harder for it to get. So how can we compare sin versus grace, that they're exactly the opposite? If one came to you upon you without even choice, and the other one you have to work to get it.
Actually, you don't have to work to get it, because otherwise it will not be a free gift. But you have to believe in it. You have to believe in Christ. If you don't believe in Christ, you will not be saved. So you have the choice to believe in Christ. You will tell me, but many people, you know, don't know Christ. Those who do not know Christ, I am sure God, in His justice, has His own way to deal with them and to judge them, as He judged people before the law, from Adam until Moses. So God has His own way to judge these people. But our responsibility, man, is to preach the saving grace of Christ to everybody, and to share this good news with everybody, so everybody can choose to believe in Christ and to be saved from the wrath to come. Another question? Okay, I'm going to have some questions for you.
The question that was sent to you earlier over the email last week, and maybe you have copies, we will go through quickly. The first question says, St. Paul explains that Christians have peace. How is the peace obtained? It's a very straight question, so yani, wake up, kid, and let us answer. How this peace is obtained? Okay, through justification, and we reconciled with God. This reconciliation with Him that made us in peace with Him through the death of His Son. Second question says, why should we glory in tribulations? Why should we glory in tribulations? Hashem, it's first of all, it's fruitful. And this tribulation, first of all, as Sayyidina said, that we know that God shares it with us. And secondly, it's fruitful. It is going to produce perseverance and character, and eventually also will lead us to hope. So that's why we glory in tribulations, because we are not left alone, and these tribulations will end up into something that's edifying for us. Question after this, how does God show His love towards us? It's also a very straightforward question. Yeah. He died on our behalf while we are sinners. This is the love that God showed to us. As Sayyidina said, it has three characteristics. It is unconditional, limitless, and sacrificial. Okay. Question number five. How were we reconciled with God? And actually, this is also very close to the first question. It's through the death of His Son. It's a straight answer from verse 10. What is the result of Adam's sin? First of all, is damnation and death. And this also reigned over many. And what is the result of the free gift? Will be exactly the opposite. That's justification and life that will reign over those people who receive it and believe in it. Okay. Glory be to God forever and ever.